This morning, we're continuing on our series in Ephesians, and the title for anyone taking notes is The Christian Home / Family. So, let's just pray. Father, we know that your heart is for families, for the individual members of families, that you have called us to be your children, members of your family. Father, we thank you for your word and the truth that is contained in it. Holy Spirit, we ask that today you would speak clearly to our hearts, that you would cut through our culture, our learned behaviours, and speak your truth into hearts, minds, and spirits. Amen. So, this morning, if you haven't got children, your children are all grown up, moved away, or whatever stage of life you're at, please do not switch off. Please do not think this is not relevant for me, because it is. Because you're God's child, and he wants to speak to you this morning through something that I'm going to say. Hopefully that he's going to say. Okay. So, Paul says in Timothy, doesn't he, that all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay? So when Rob was giving out dates and passages, and I was thinking, I don't want this one. I really didn't want this one. But there we go. And some of you will be thinking, who's Dave Courtney to talk to me about raising my family or how I deal with the members of my family? Well, that's a good point and it's very well made. And I might second it. But the scriptures we're going to share on, the Apostle Paul wrote. And he's a single guy, not married, with no family. So I'm at least a little bit more qualified than him. So there we go. Not that I'm putting myself above him. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. So God's blessed me and all with four incredible children and a wonderful, incredible daughter-in-law who have all started their walk with Christ really well and really strongly. And they're all serving in the churches that they attend. But like the rest of us, they've got a very long way to go. Many twists and turns, many ups and downs, many trials, many hardships, and also wonderful blessings from God. So I don't stand before you going, I've got all the answers, my family are great. Which, seen as, yeah, they are great. Where would I be without them? Mortgage free, perhaps? Okay. And there's a good chance this morning that I'm going to say something that you're not going to like. Because, like all of us, I've got my own opinions and my own beliefs. I believe in Christian education. That's why I sent my four kids to the Christian Fellowship School. I believe that we should encourage our children and young people in the things of God. For us as a family, Friday nights was youth group. Now, at one stage, they had no choice because me and Dawn took youth group, so they were coming. Tough. But Friday nights was youth group, and Sundays was church. And that was the time we set aside as a family for God. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody else there. I'm just saying, as a family, they knew, unless they had an appointment with the Queen, they were not going anywhere else on a Friday night or a Sunday morning. You know, Matt, who is a very gifted musician and quite a good footballer, takes after me, I think. But there was no way he was going anywhere else on a Sunday morning but here. So he got that message quite quickly. But that's for you to decide. That's for you as parents to make that decision. I need to thank those people in this place, and there's far too many to mention, who have had that input into our kids' lives, into our lives, into the kids' lives, and have taught them that there's a God who loves them, and who have stood by them when they've got things wrong, when they've been mouthy teenagers. Again, that refers to Matt mainly because he's not here and get away with that. But teenagers have opinions, don't they? And people stood by them all. And I'm very grateful for that. Okay, so there's all the thanks and the apologies for offending people before we begin out the way. So if we could just go to Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay. So previously, Paul's been talking about relationships. And this is all it's all about. It's about relationships. Relationships in the family and relationships between individuals and God. And he talks about husbands and wives and how they are to love, respect and treat each other. And then he moves on to the next important one, which is between the parents and their children. Okay. So, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm not sure how long a child has to carry on obeying their parents. You know, I'm pretty sure if I go around to see my mum and dad this afternoon, my mum will give me some instruction of some type, without a shadow of a doubt. Okay. But if we look at this, Paul's talking directly to children. And quite often we don't think the Bible's got that much to say to children apart from the lovely stories with precious Jesus, meek and mild. But here is an instruction on how to behave. And it's a positive instruction. Okay? To obey your parents in the Lord. It's a positive thing. Okay. And please note that the order in which Paul says it, children obey parents, not the other way around. Okay? And that is us with God, isn't it? As well. We mither God like a little child, wanting him to obey our requests rather than us obeying his instruction. Okay. And obedience is both the mother and father, parents as in the two. And I know we're all at different stages. And I know there's single parents here. And what an amazing job you do. And I'm not saying that to patronise. I've had the support of a lovely wife. And I can't imagine how difficult it is. I would have strangled two of my children without Dawn being there. And to be honest, they'd have probably murdered me in the night as well, you know. But just because Paul's spoken about the man being the head of the household, that doesn't mean he's diluted what the mother does. Okay? It's not a wait till your father gets home. You're being so much trouble. Which when I was growing up was actually the other way around. Wait till your mother gets home. You know, my dad was quite easy to, quite calm and would sit you down and give you the good talk and say, my mum wasn't quite like that. Okay. But it's very important that it's a joint thing, that the mother's role and responsibility is just as important as the father's. And the father's role isn't to be a dictator. But we'll move on to that later. So, it says obey in the Lord. So if your parents are wanting you to do anything that isn't lawful and isn't of the Lord, it's a deal breaker. And you can switch off and refuse, I think. So under Mosaic law, the penalties for a child who was disobedient were very severe. Can we go to Deuteronomy 21? Okay, and I'm getting a bit worried now because this is actually the second time since I've been speaking that I've shared this verse. So, okay. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son or daughter who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastised him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate, and they shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Don't know how else you'd stone somebody to death without stones, but can we go to Exodus 21:15? And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. In my case, I would have been by my mother, without doubt. Exodus 21:17, it's up there, yeah. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And Leviticus 20:9. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Okay, and then Paul goes on to list the such disobediences as one of the gravest sins. Can we go to Romans 1:30? Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. And 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. Okay. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Do we see the scene that's being painted here of how important obedience is? Okay. So why is obedience to parents important to God? If a child doesn't listen to what their parents are saying, to the guidance and advice, then how likely are they to listen to the guiding voice of God? If I'm not going to listen to my parents, well, the chances are when God speaks to me, I'm going to ignore that as well. Too many notes. Okay. See, I think that the way God wants children to be raised is in a loving way. But there's a truth and a right way. And it's not about whether there's a naughty step or whether they get a good slap across the back of their legs like we used to get. But it's about a teaching to listen to the voice of guidance. So, in Luke 15, this will make our Lydia smile. So, we have a story of a prodigal son where he runs away, where he tells his father, basically, "I wish you were dead, I want my inheritance now, and I'm out of here." OK. okay? And there's an older son who stays behind, who's doing exactly what his parents have said. And eventually he comes to his senses, the younger child, and he runs home and he thinks, if I can be a servant, that'll do. It's warm, it's dry, there's food, that'll great. That's great, I'll go for that. And the father, as we know, is looking for him on the horizon and runs out to meet him and greets him and falls on his neck and kisses him. And it's a beautiful picture. But the point of the discipline is still there. Although the father doesn't give him a crack around the back of the head and says, what are you playing at? Yeah. Whilst the younger son is in the pigsty eating, all those words of his father, all those words of guidance and encouragement have been echoing through his mind. And that's why he decides to go home, because he knows there's a loving father there who, at very worst, will take him back as a servant. Okay. And that's the point, isn't it, about discipline. It isn't to ruin your life. It isn't to stop you doing anything. It's to guide you in the right things. It's to point you towards a loving God. It's to point you towards, this is what the way to do it is, not anything else. Okay. So we go to back to verse 2 and 3. It says, honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, and so that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. See, I have no problem with the obeying bit. I'm quite good at that. If I'm given a set of rules and instructions to follow, my character, my nature is, I will follow them. That may be my church upbringing. I don't know, but that is the way I'm wired. Okay? I will not step outside of them boundaries. I am not a natural rebel in that sense. I will not go, Mum told me that, so I'm doing that. I will not do that. I have never been that way inclined. Okay, but the honour bit, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because part of my life, I know better than my parents. I know better than the guidance that my mum and dad have given me, I think. Or that's what I've thought. But the dictionary definition of honour is this: a quality that combines respect, being proud, and honest. It also says, in order to celebrate or show great respect for someone. To make someone proud and happy by doing or being something. To feel you must do something because it's what is right, even if you don't want to do it. Wow. Well, do you know what? I do respect my mum and dad. I do want to celebrate them as parents and the way that they've raised us. And I do want them to be proud and happy at the way I'm living my life. And you know what? That's no different than what I want Father God to think of me. And I want to show Father God respect and honesty. And openness. I want to celebrate how great he is and show him the respect of that. And I want him to be proud and happy of me. And I want to live my life right for him. Mainly because I don't want to damage the relationship. See, with my wife, there's a whole set of vows I've given her that I won't do this, 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 or this. And I will always do this, 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 and this. But the one thing that really keeps me obeying them rules is a simple one. I love her. and I don't want to damage the relationship. And that's it. It's that simple. All the vows we made over there, however long ago, okay, might struggle to write them all down. But it's about the relationship. It's about the love, and it's about not wanting to damage it. And that is the same with my Heavenly Father. I don't want to damage the relationship. I know he'll always forgive me. I know there's always restoration. But I don't want to damage that relationship in the first place. But then, descriptions of honour, are they not character traits that we all want for ourselves, for our children, for our neighbours, for everybody? Okay. So, in my experience of parenting, did I mention I've got four wonderful kids? Yeah, okay, that's cool. I've learned that kids copy the behaviour of their parents. So, this drives me mad. When I used to work with a team of people, you know, you'd hear dads belittling the mums, the kids' mums, and vice versa. And you see it on Facebook, and it just drives me potty because your kids are picking up on that. And you know, I want to imitate God in every relationship that I've got. So I am going to show my kids' mum honour. And I am going to talk to her in a respectful way in front of them. We might have our arguments and differences behind the scenes, but in front of them, it's a united front. And it's one of honour that goes two ways. Okay. And the promise for a long life on the earth, depends on what version you're reading, but on the earth, who doesn't want a long life? Okay, that's a promise of God. That's a blessing. They're not just idle words to make you feel good. That's God himself saying that. Okay. Now the next one. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Would anybody else like to take over now? Because I'm about done. Okay, because that is the bit I struggle with day in, day out. I could provoke all four of my children, and possibly the dog, to anger every single day of the week, every single conversation, every single minute. In fact, Dawn would suggest I've got a master's degree in doing this. You know, I can actually cause or provoke my children to anger when they're not in the room. You know, when I'm sat in the room on my own, I can do it. I'm pretty good at it. But again, we need to reflect Father God's character. See, my children aren't my children, if that makes sense. They're on loan to me. They're a gift to me in order that I can bring them up in the ways of God. They're on loan, if you like. And one day, I believe that God will go, go on then, how well did you do? And that scares me and frightens me. Okay. But I'm not there in the house to be a dictator. And I have my opinions. And those opinions and those attitudes differ from my children because we are of a different culture and generation to each other now. But I am there to reflect the Father's heart of love to them. Okay. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And look at the way that Jesus treats the Samaritan woman at the well. The woman who was brought before him, who'd been caught in adultery. Zacchaeus, the cheating tax collector. Or Peter, after the resurrection when he denied Jesus. Just look at the kindness the tenderness with which Jesus treats these people. You know, we need to show the fruit of the Spirit, not only to children, but to the family of God here. We need to show that tenderness to each other. So Galatians 5:22. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. See, I'm very good with our kids in that if they've done something monumentally wrong, set fire to the house, done something ridiculously stupid, which they see as a big deal, I'm very calm with that, very patient with that, very loving with that. Yeah? And we sit down calmly and we talk it through. And we always have. But it's the little things in life. It's the who left the one biscuit in the wrapper on the side of the kitchen unit that just drives me potty. It's the stupid things. And that's when I need to stop, take a step back, count to 10, take deep breaths, and remember the fruits of the Spirit and put them into operation. Okay. So, the simple truths in this passage, but what's the goal of it? Well, the goal is simply this, I believe. To bring our children up in the nurture and the fear of the Lord, which is the same goal for all of us. What we want is to be a reflection of God for all of us. Whether you've got 50 kids, 2 kids, no kids, your kids have left home, you haven't started the family yet, whatever it is, surely we want to be a reflection of the Father. So Paul says, I imitate Christ, so imitate me. Is that not the goal? In all our relationships, in all of our family life, I want to be like Jesus, and I want you to be like me. Yeah? Okay, maybe not. Okay. See, the goal isn't to get your kids to university, for them to have a degree, a football Champions League medal, or a crown from a beauty contest. The goal isn't riches, fame, or power. It's very simple. And it hopefully is the goal that we all want. It's a real personal relationship with God. See, I could chase, and I've just spent a week doing a trade show in Birmingham where all of my colleagues' primary aim is simply to sell more so they get a bigger bonus at the end of the year. That has been the 4 days we have been together. The primary focus has been, if I sell 10 of these, do I get more of a bonus than if I sell 10 of these? And that's great, isn't it? Isn't that fantastic? Sure, my kids will be very impressed with my bank account when I die. Not. Okay. But the world around us is geared in such a way that parents are out there chasing money. And we've all got to earn a living. I accept that. But chasing money to either have a bigger house, 2 cars, the new flat screen telly, kids' brand new Xbox or whatever the latest gadget is. And it is not actually about the relationship of those children or their wives or their brothers or their sisters or other family members or even their neighbours. It is simply about, can we get bigger and better? For what point? You see, I'm going to say this as a father. The greatest calling on my life isn't standing here talking to you guys. It wasn't doing youth group, as enjoyable as that was and as challenging as that was at times. The greatest calling on my life is simply to be a father and to reflect the Father's heart to my children and to point them in the direction of Him. That is my calling. Whatever else, what other callings I have, fantastic. But there will never be a bigger or better one that God will place on my life. And for you mums, that's the same as well. You know, fathers, anyone can be a biological father, or most can. It's not difficult. It's quite simple. We won't go into the gory details here and now, but it isn't hard or difficult. But being a proper dad, being a proper father's hard work. There are times I've sat on the edge of my bed and cried about it and gone, I don't want to do this anymore. This is just far too difficult and hard. And I've got four wonderful children, as I think I've mentioned previously. I've got great kids, but it ain't easy. You know, as a father, how am I going to convince my children that God's worth having a relationship with if I haven't got a relationship with them? What proof have they got in what I'm saying? So if I'm a mini dictator in the house, if I'm a screamer, shouter, megalomaniac, control freak, well, why should my kids even believe that I have a heart for God? Why should they even sit there and listen to me when I say, but God loves you? Well, yeah, okay, God might love me, but you're doing a flipping awful job of this. Yeah? You're making me... I am there not just solely to put bread on the table. I am there for the moral guidance of my kids. You know, my father is a great man, and he's a very peaceful man. He's not a screamer or a shouter. Don't think I've ever really heard him raise his voice. But when you were in trouble, you knew you were in trouble, and it was clear. And there were some definite rules put in place that you're going to do this. But I never had an issue or a problem looking at that man and thinking he's got a heart for God. Never, ever. And I'm blessed by that. And I realise some people have never had that. But I'm blessed by the fact that I can look at him and go, his heart is after God. And that's what I want for my kids, for your kids, for the relationships that we all have together, is that it's clear that we all love God, because in the way we deal with each other, it's in love. And that doesn't mean that we turn blind eyes to things that are going on, but it's in love. It's in the love of the Father. You know, I cannot, in my words and in my actions, properly convey to my children how much God loves me. I can try. I am just a reflection, because I am a flawed character. But I can honestly say that as a family, myself and Dawn have tried to be that reflection. And at times it's a very dim, murky reflection. But we've tried to do that. We've never had, and some of you might be shocked at this, we've never had Bible studies where we all sit around the table and we go through chapter after chapter after chapter. Never done it. Very rarely have we all gathered as a family and prayed together. Okay? However, on a daily basis, God is there in our conversations. God is there at our dinner table. You know, that when I was growing up, you used to get taught, you know, God sees everything you say. God is at every meal. Yeah, you know, some people even used to set a place, an empty place at the dinner table. Yeah, God, the unseen guest. Right, okay, it used to terrify the life out of me. You know, I've got 3 sprouts left on my plate and God's looking at me going, he's not eating his sprouts. But we need to be real with our kids about who God is and in our relationship with each other. And not a religious, this is who God is, but a real, this is who God is. And a genuine and an openness. As I said before, my 4 kids are going on with God, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And I'm grateful for everyone who's had an input into that. They've got a long way to go, as we all have. You know, and I hope they come across people who are imitating Christ and who are reflecting Christ to them. You aren't giving them 57 ways to be a better Christian. You aren't giving them the latest book on how to do it, but are simply sticking to simple biblical truths and saying, that makes the difference. Jesus makes the difference. And a God loves you. And I hope that they just keep bumping into them people who motivate them in that way.